Do you still get a paper delivered to your doorstep every morning? Well, congratulations, you're part of a hardy minority because just 2 in 10 American adults get their news from physical print newspapers these days. That's according to a survey by the Pew Research Center just released last week. And it also showed, no surprise here, that there's a continued increase in news consumption online, almost 40%. The shift has placed a lot of power and revenue in the hands of tech giants Google and Facebook. But there's a new push to change that, and it's led by the News Media Alliance, a trade group which includes the New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, and thousands of other organizations. For more, let's go to our weekly guide to the world of tech, Recode. Peter Kafka is senior editor of For Media at Recode. Peter, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Now, this began with an op-ed published in the Wall Street Journal by the head of the News Media Alliance. What did he say?
He said basically we need some leverage. The newspaper publishers of the world for a decade or more have been saying, boy, we really need better terms from first Google and then Facebook. We can't get them on our own. If one of us decides we don't want to participate in the Google ecosystem or the Facebook ecosystem, we get replaced by everybody else. We'd like the power to bargain collectively, just like a worker would with their boss, except this time the boss is Google and Facebook.
Oh, interesting. And he says that in order to do that, the News Media Alliance wants an antitrust exemption from Congress. Now, what exactly would that mean?
It means they could do that. Generally, you're prohibited from getting big groups of industry leaders from acting in concert together. That creates monopolies, oligopolies. There's laws to prevent that. So the Washington Post, New York Times, smaller newspapers can't get together right now and say, here's our plan. Here's how we're going to approach Google. Here's how we're going to approach Facebook. And they certainly can't tell Google or Facebook, we're going to act in concert together. They want the ability to do that.
Oh, and so they're saying that they have to form essentially
a union. Yeah.
Because what Google and Facebook, they call those two companies a digital duopoly, right?
Right. Yeah. That's the idea.
Yeah. So exactly how much control does Google and Facebook have on how much people consume news?
Hard to quantify that. I mean, everyone has a sense that everyone's sort of consuming their news digitally. If you work at a digital publisher, again, for the last decade or so, you've been orienting the way you do business around first pleasing Google, making sure that your stuff is discoverable by Google, that Google directs traffic to you. And then over the last 5 years, Facebook has become as important and now more important than Google, and you're trying to please those two masters. And if they favor you, if they send traffic your way, it can be a fire hose of traffic. It can bump your numbers up significantly. And if you're ignored in some ways, your stories won't ever sort of show up for many readers.
Mm. So there's the question of Google and Facebook control, not controlling, but being the gatekeepers for access.
Gatekeepers, yeah. They're the industry parlance is discovery, right? That's how you learn about a story, is because Facebook or Google will help you learn about it,
and
discover it.
So what about the revenue side of things? How much money are we talking about here?
That's a little easier to quantify, and that's pretty brutal. Facebook and Google get about 77-80 cents of each new digital dollar that's spent in advertising over the next year or so. So it leaves almost nothing for really everyone else.
80% essentially?
Yep. And that's of new spending. It's not overall spending. But any growth is going to Google and Facebook, and it's leaving everyone else sort of begging for the scraps. It's hard to see sort of how the publishers can rectify that even through bargaining, but this is their attempt to even get some kind of leverage back. They feel they have none right now.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I mean, Google and Facebook would say that we are living in a digital world right now. And in fact, it's because of these companies and the access that they give users to news and information that perhaps they've done a great deal to support journalism and put more journalism in front of people than maybe otherwise would have seen it.
I think there are many people at Google and Facebook who mean well and believe they're genuinely helping the newspaper industry. I think a lot of them, they're too tactful to say it now, but think those industries have been really slow to change and slow to adapt to a digital world, and they're sort of archaic and stodgy in the way they do business. They would like to help them. They also, again, as you said at the beginning, they've opened up the world to a lot of people. So in a lot of ways, you can argue that this is a golden age for journalism. Certainly for lots of readers around the world have access to news and information they never would have seen before. Where that falls down is lots of pockets of especially local mid-sized newspapers where they're not equipped to compete economically, and they're shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. So if you're in a small town, if you're in a mid-sized town in Minneapolis, say, you're getting less and less resources every day in terms of people delivering you news.
Okay, so I have to ask you another question about that since you mentioned local journalism. Because last week, there was also this news that Google is awarding the Press Association $800,000 to build software that would automate writing some 30,000 local stories a month, essentially putting artificial intelligence to work for local news. What more do we know about that? We just got a couple seconds here.
It's a pilot project. There's, by the way, you're already getting robots writing, creating news for you. If you read stuff from the Associated Press, they're doing earnings reports and box scores from baseball games. Robots are already doing some news. The less scary version of that is that frees up journalists to do more interesting news. If a robot can do it, maybe a human shouldn't be writing that sort of news. And that's, I think that in Google's case, they're hoping to surface interesting stories for those writers.
Well, listeners, I can confirm to you right now that we are still flesh and blood. Having this conversation.
Humans over, right, there's a human being on this side, at least I can vouch.
Peter, thanks so much.